are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, February 28th, and the three-game win streak is over. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life just like y'all, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast, first of all, but also spread the word to everybody you know. And today, we're going to be talking about the Pistons falling to the Spurs on Wednesday night as the team runs out of steam at the end after a couple of nice comebacks there against a Spurs team that was kind of flailing, in my opinion, throughout the night. A winnable game that the Pistons let slip through their hands. But we're also going to talk about, first off, the updated standings, how things look in the playoff race. Was it a good night or a bad night, all in all, for the Pistons? But also two of the Twitter complaints that I kind of hated seeing after the game. And we're also going to hit another question from the Pistons Reddit mailbag a little bit later on as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. And another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give us a like on there. We're trying to get those numbers up as much as possible as well. But a huge February for the podcast. Thanks again for listening throughout the month. But the Pistons in San Antonio on Wednesday night lose 105-93, and they got it to within 2 points, and a 15-5 run for San Antonio close the win for the Spurs. The Pistons have their three-game win streak snapped. They had won 7 of 8 before the game in the Lone Star State. For the Pistons, 22 points from Reggie Jackson in the loss, 5 of 12 from 3, 17 points for Blake Griffin with 7 rebounds and 7 assists, so some decent counting numbers there. But 6 for 18 from the field, he wasn't very good all in all. Not enough plays made by the big man down the stretch. Andre Drummond, 10 points, 4 steals and 17 rebounds. Active, but did not finish well, 5 of 14 from the field. Ellington, Bruce, Kennard, Thon, Zaza, particularly Thon, those guys all did not play well. Probably his worst game as a Piston for Thon Maker. Vince Ellis said it on Twitter, just park it in the corner for right now. He had some moves and shots that didn't look completely terrible, but nothing fell for him. 0 for 5 and a 0-point outing for Thon Maker. Luke Kennard was 0 for 6 from 3, a couple nice early plays in the fourth quarter to help get the Pistons back into it, including a dunk from Luke, but not enough from Kennard. As we've talked about his strong play lately, it didn't coincide with this one. But Langston Galloway had 11 points and 3 of 5 from 3 for the Pistons, helping drag the team back into the game in the fourth quarter. Ish Smith also played well at times with 9 points off the bench. Pistons fall to 29-31 on the season. As I pull up the box score here to look up some Spurs numbers for you, 24 points for LaMarcus Aldridge, 17 off the bench for Bellinelli, including some wild shots that he made, including early on, and then a dagger off the baseline there. No, that was kind of, his feet weren't even under him, but still got it done. DeMar DeRozan, 17 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists. Strong floor game from DeMar for the Spurs as well. Good news for the Pistons. Brooklyn loses at home to the Wizards, so a bad loss for Brooklyn there. The Hornets lose at home to the Rockets. Not a terrible loss losing to Houston, but of course any home loss is a bad one at this point in the season for Charlotte. But Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat, a miracle three to beat the Warriors at home. So the biggest headline and exclamation point of the night provided by the South Beach guys, possibly back from the dead. Those are the kind of shots that can maybe drag you back into the season. So we'll see. All in all, the Pistons lose a game where you're supposed to lose probably anyway. So slightly more bad than good for the Pistons. Any night that you lose your game is not a good night for the standings. But you certainly fight to play another day for sure, especially given that Brooklyn loss to Washington at home. So really not that bad of a night. Pistons in seventh place still in the Eastern Conference, 1.5 games behind the Brooklyn Nets, 1.5 games ahead of the Charlotte Hornets, who are in the eighth and final spot in the Eastern Conference. Pistons still 2 games inside of the playoffs, as Orlando and Miami are now tied for 9th place. So a little bit of a cushion there for the Pistons, which is nice. A couple games to watch tonight on the NBA schedule. Miami at the Rockets. A brutal back-to-back for Miami there as they have to travel to Houston after beating the Warriors at home. And then the Magic hosting those angry Warriors. So feels like a couple of slam dunk wins for the Pistons' playoff hopes tonight. And then Friday, the Hornets will be at the Nets. So someone's going to lose there of those two teams. So the Pistons will either be, you know, closer to the sixth spot or further away from the eighth spot. So either way, the Pistons should be even better shape when they hit the court on Saturday against the Cavs for a road game, but still one of the easier places to win this season in the NBA. Pistons now at a 88% chance to make the playoffs, down from 89, but you like to get closer to the finish line and see those other teams stumbling a little bit too. But up next, some two things that I saw on Twitter that bother me about Pistons fans. There are two complaints that people have made about this team and every NBA team, and we're going to talk about that after the break. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. That'll get the newest episode up for you so you can check out. While you're on your commute, just use that voice box of yours to say to the smart device, play podcast Locked On Pistons. We're trying to get into your car and join you for your commutes around town this season. But we have an important favor to ask of you as well. We'd like your help. Put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners just like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and to tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete, and by participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. Again, that's lockedonpodcast.com/survey, and we appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to break out the Reddit mailbag for another question or two, whatever time allows us here at the end of the Locked On Pistons podcast. But this is your host, Matt Shook, and just talking some more about Wednesday's game against the San Antonio Spurs. The Pistons only attempted 7 free throws in that game, went 6 of 7. That's not going to get it done. The Spurs shot 17 of them. Of course, that's not a dig at the referees. The Pistons threw up 38 three-pointers, and they really don't have guards that finish at the rim very often, or wings that finish at the rim, I should say, more accurately. Reggie's the top penetrator on the team, but shoots a lot of floaters, so obviously he's not going to get to the free throw line too often. Only shot 1 free throw, ish shot 2. Just not a lot of big numbers from those wing guys. Nothing, as we kind of expect these days with some of those guys. Some threes occasionally from Luke Kennard and Langston Galloway and Wayne Ellington when he's going too. But just not a lot else from those guys. And that's going to be the team's undoing, as we can kind of see the writing on the wall a little bit there. The Pistons had 1 bucket in the first 6 minutes of the second quarter, but didn't fall behind too far because San Antonio was having trouble scoring themselves during that stretch. Credit to the Pistons defense for some of that, obviously. But battled back at the end of the second quarter, largely behind Reggie Jackson. Then the Pistons went cold again in the third. Battled back in the fourth behind, largely behind Langston Galloway and Ish Smith, with some nice plays in the middle of the fourth quarter there. Ish made a layup to bring the Pistons within 2 points with 5 minutes left, which brings me to my first complaint that I have for some of the fans on Twitter. A lot of you guys talking about how Reggie and Ellington coming back in for Ish and Galloway was a big mistake by Dwayne Casey, and there's big rotation problems with Dwayne Casey. The old coaches' rotations are like the go-to complaint of, and I don't want to talk down and say misinformed fans, but you just see people on Twitter complaining about coaches' rotations after losses all the time. It's like the complaint, and it's not just the fans on Twitter. There's a lot of journalists who do this too. A lot of people, you know, who want to sound smart when they talk about basketball, talking about coaches' rotations. And there are, and not to say that there's never a reasonable complaint to be made that certain guys should be playing together and certain guys shouldn't be playing together. But most of the time, it's when guys don't make plays that's why you lose. I played, you know, basketball for years, and never once after a game thought, man, what was our coach doing with our rotations? Now, if you think certain guys should get more minutes or certain guys should play less, you know, that's valid. But I just think it's strange that we had Stan Van Gundy for all these years tinkering with the rotations, playing different guys at different times, never having guys in defined roles. And we complained about that for 4 years. And now that Dwayne Casey, who's like the most you know, predictable rotation guy in the NBA, it seems like, and everyone knows what they're going to get, what kind of minutes are going to come, you know, the occasional Luke Kennard fluctuations of minutes that we talk about, but throughout the course of an NBA season, really the amount of differences and rotations and lineups and minutes has been very, very minimal with this team. But yet you lose one game to San Antonio on the road and everyone wants to talk about rotation changes. And we know that Casey has sometimes ridden out the hot hand at the end of games, but that's a little bit overblown too. That's only happened a couple of times that he, you know, he's played Ish Smith over Reggie Jackson in crunch time. But that was back when Reggie was really struggling in the complete doghouse, and obviously Casey was trying to send a little message to Reggie Jackson there. Casey just usually goes with the player, his best players at the end of games, just like every other coach should. And now with the Pistons, the five best on the court presents a little bit of a separate issue, in my opinion. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, with Reggie and Ellington coming back in, Reggie Jackson had 22 points. He is better than Ish Smith right now, without question. Generally, you know, by a lot. It's not even close. And Langston Galloway, yes, he hits a couple of shots. I believe he made it, or he missed his last 3 that he attempted in the game, so it wasn't like he was on fire or something like that. He has basically not been an NBA player for several weeks now, save for like 2 or 3 good quarters, obviously the fourth against Miami, and a couple good minutes on San Antonio on Wednesday. But you're going to tell me that talking about this guy, who probably shouldn't be in the rotation on any NBA roster right now, taking him out was the reason that the Pistons lost this game. Now, separately from this, I do have an issue with the finishing group right now. And I mentioned this on Twitter. If you're going to have, obviously, you're going to have Blake and Andre in with the finishing group. But if your point guard slash wings are going to be Reggie Jackson, who obviously should be in there, like I said, and then Luke Kennard and Wayne Ellington. Look, Reggie, Luke, and Ellington as your three guys in the perimeter. I just don't see enough defense there. We saw Derek White and DeMar DeRozan just basically do blow-bys on those guys when the Pistons did get it back to 2 points. And I think that'll keep happening against the top teams in the Eastern Conference. If you want to talk about the playoffs, Eric Bledsoe, Kyle Lowry, Ben Simmons, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving. I wrote Kyrie Thomas on my notes. Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I mean, take your pick in the playoffs and big games down the stretch to get in the playoffs of which of these guys is going to abuse Luke Kennard and Wayne Ellington and Reggie Jackson on the perimeter. Now, and I know that there are no good solutions with this team, especially with this group of wings. Again, it's going to be the undoing. It's where the Pistons need to make upgrades in the offseason, need to be smart with how they're developing guys. And I know that Bruce Brown is atrocious shooting the ball. He passed up a wide-open three on a nice play that the Pistons set up for him with Blake and Andre, one of those nice little four-on-twos that they set up a three for, and we're probably going to get the offensive rebound even if he missed anyway. He passes it up. They go into a regular five-on-five set, and Reggie misses a three. It's the kind of thing that, you know, leads you to believe that Bruce isn't ready to get any kind of minutes in the NBA. But I feel like with Kyrie Thomas or Bruce Brown out there, and again, the Kyrie Thomas thing, we're kind of beating our head against the wall at this point. I don't feel like that's just going to happen for this guy this year. And that's okay for a rookie second-round pick. But at least a Bruce Brown type out there gives you a chance against some of these wings. Luke Ellington, I just don't see a chance against stopping any of these guys. Against these tough teams, and look, it's picking your poison. You're up against it. But stopping those guys, or at least attempting to stop some of those all-stars, some of those top players that you're going to run into come crunch time in the playoffs, at least gives you a chance to win some of these games. Now, the other issue that I have on Twitter, and it's kind of an old one, and I don't know that I've completely called this one out before, but it deserves it. I saw Keith Langlois, and this isn't you follow me here. I saw Keith Langlois on Twitter going back and forth with the fan who was giving the dialogue that I'm kind of over, and saying that Drummond's effort was an issue in this game on Wednesday night. Keith took issue with that. I side with Keith here, by the way, who was our guest on Tuesday's show or Wednesday's show. You definitely check that out if you missed it. A lot of interesting stuff with the Pistons.com writer. But it's just the blanket default criticism fans have when Andre Drummond doesn't play well. Now, there has been times, and there continue to be times, that his attitude kind of gets in his way. But Wednesday was not one of those times. The fact that, you know, because he's not dunking balls instead of missing some of these layups, I guess there could be a little bit of an argument that there's somewhat of a little bit of an effort issue there. To me, man, if you're looking at this stat sheet, you're seeing 4 steals, you're seeing 17 rebounds, and we know that rebounds aren't exactly always an effort stat, especially with Andre Drummond, but he pulled down some defensive rebounds away from Aldridge that were kind of tips to himself or grabbing him up in traffic, just impressive defensive rebounds, which we've come to expect from Andre, of course. But To say that he didn't give an effort on Wednesday night, I think is unfair. I think that he was 5-for-14 from the field and things just didn't fall for him inside. But I just think the blanket criticism of Andre Drummond's effort is something that is really oversimplifying things, and not even oversimplifying things, but most of the times it's just flat out wrong. Again, there have been times throughout his career where effort has been an issue. There have been times this season where effort has been an issue. But I went on the rant about Andre Drummond a few weeks back after the Clippers game. I hardly said anything about effort in that rant. It was about intelligence. It was about making professional basketball plays. It was about knowing the score and knowing what kind of things you need to do to help your team win. That was my issue with Andre Drummond. Very rarely in these two seasons that I've been doing the Lockdown Pistons podcast and watching every single game of this team have I sat there and thought, you know what, Andre's dogging it tonight. And I know a lot of those problems and reputations that he's had from earlier in his career, many of it well-deserved, kind of follows him. But I don't think that effort is as big of an issue. It certainly isn't as big of an issue as it was earlier in his career. But in my opinion, and I think I'm right on this one, I don't think effort is as big of an issue as many of the fans out there on Twitter. It's always going to be the go-to complaint for some of you guys, and I'm not going to be able to talk you out of it. But again, it's frustrating to watch a guy who's that big and can be so dominant on certain nights, certain quarters. You know, when he's throwing down these huge dunks on the alley-oops, he looks like a guy that can't be stopped. But it's the NBA. It's tough to score, and especially when you're not able to get, you know, easy dunks possession after possession, it becomes something that, you know, and again, how many guys are out there, how many big guys are out there dominating on every single play? It's something that has plagued big guys in terms of the criticism that they've gotten for the past decades and decades of this league. And it's no different from Andre Drummond. But like I said, I think the effort's been there more so. You're seeing a guy who's being very active. I think to flash the stat on Fox Sports Detroit during the broadcast, blocks plus steals. And we know a lot of that is just his coordination and opportunistic, you know, abilities out there on the perimeter when he's kind of wreaking havoc there with his body out there. But when you combine blocks and steals and you're the best in the NBA at it for kind of a sustained stretch of a few weeks at this point, there is nothing wrong with the effort of this guy right now. There's a lot of things wrong with this team, and there are some things wrong with Andre Drummond on a night-to-night basis, but the effort has been there for Andre Drummond, especially lately for the Detroit Pistons. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys could be mentioned right here, right now on the Lockdown Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company go ahead and sponsor this show. Email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Now, next, we're going to break out the Reddit mailbag. That's up next here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Lockdown Network, your team every day. All right, let's do it. Let's hit the Reddit mailbag. First question's coming from Keeb Khan out there in Reddit land. With the Pistons fighting for playoff spot, I assume they'll be drafting around 15 or 16. Looking at best player available, who could some of their targets be? Also, who should they target in free agency, assuming they are only working with the mid-level exemption? My thought is that they need a bigger small forward on the roster, someone around 6'7 to 6'9. What do you think? Now, I'm going to combine this question with I Swear Not a Narc, also another good Reddit name. What do you look forward to most in the second half of the season, playoffs or draft? If it's playoffs, what matchup are you hoping the Pistons get first round? If it's draft, who's your sleeper pick slash position of need? Of course, I'm looking more to the playoffs. I mean, we haven't had that very often here in Detroit, so bring it on. And of course, I think we can all agree that Indiana without Victor Oladipo would be the top matchup. But there's a sick part of me, and I bet a lot of Pistons fans as well, that wants a shot at the reeling Boston Celtics. Although, I guess by definition, they wouldn't be reeling so much if they get up to that three seed. But we will see. So give me Indiana or give me Boston. Philly doesn't seem very winnable, and Joel Embiid's probably going to clown Andre Drummond, so that wouldn't be that much fun. But we're going to go back to the Keeb Khan and also I Swear Not an Arc question. And I agree with Keeb Khan quite a bit. The big wings will be important for this team, kind of a dearth of small forwards and not a lot on the wing. The Glenn Robinson position that he was supposed to provide this year and what Reggie Bullock was providing a lot before he was traded as well. So some draft and free agency options I'm going to throw out for you guys. And like Keeb said, you got to keep in mind the Pistons pretty much only have the mid-level exception to work with, which is $9 million. They'll also have the biannual exemption if they choose to use it and hard cap themselves. They didn't have that option this past year, but about $3.5 million for the biannual exemption, as far as I understand. So go out there and get Kawhi with that money, right? No, that's my joke. The Pistons are not getting Kawhi Leonard. But I'll give you a couple guys. How about a big wing here? Can knock down threes. Toughness. How about Marcus Morris of the Boston Celtics? Bring Mook home. A Piston through and through, correct? But he's coming off of his best season at 29. He's probably going to want big money. But maybe you can entice him with the longer term. I don't know how his time with the organization ended. Obviously, it's a whole kind of different regime right now. But if he enjoyed his time in Piston land, maybe you could throw him a three-year, $27 million deal with the mid-level exemption. Although, in all seriousness, he probably gets more than that. But I don't know. Sometimes you can get some bargains if you act early or maybe even wait out the market. And another guy who's pretty much in that same boat as a guy who probably gets more years or probably gets a longer-term deal or some good money, whichever him and his agent prefer to take. Another big guy. How about Al-Farouq Aminu? Another big wing from Portland, a big guy, defense, does the little things, knocks down shots too. These are very similar players and also known for their toughness. You know that if you listen to this podcast, that's kind of the players that I'm going to recommend that the Pistons go get. Again, could be another three-year, $27 million type of deal. But again, you'd have to kind of get fortunate or play the market correctly to get one of those two guys at that kind of number because they're probably going to be looking for more than that. But if you offer early, like I said, like they did with Glenn Robinson III, maybe you can use those years to lock down a deal closer to July 1st. But for the draft, I'll throw out a couple names for you guys. Mid-teens, late lottery, early non-lottery picks possibilities. The first one, how about that defense that we've seen from Brandon Clark of Gonzaga? Plus, he's a 20-plus points a game guy. Problem is, he's probably going to have a nice little March Madness run, so maybe he'll play his way into the top 10. But I've liked the small sample sizes I've seen from him. The second name that I'm going to give you is a guy I've never seen play before, to be honest. Kevin Porter of USC, kind of a potential play there, a big-time freshman recruit that came in, had a suspension for some team rule stuff, also some lingering injuries issues this year. USC is just not a good team at all right now. But when you're talking about the 15th, 16th, 17th pick in the draft, you need to take a swing a little bit later on in the first round. And both of these guys could give you high returns. Again, I have not seen them yet, but maybe we should as soon as possible because USC is not a tournament team unless they somehow surprise in the Pac-12. But just a note on that, USC is on TV tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN, playing against UCLA. So a rivalry game for them might be worth a watch for a Pistons fan who might want to check that out. And if you do, give me a call on the Google Voice line, leave a voicemail, and let me know what you think of Kevin Porter, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Go ahead and give a call to that. Let us know what you think about Kevin Porter if you check out the Trojans and the Bruins tonight in California. I'll be at the Michigan game, so I won't be able to chance to watch that. Nebraska and the Wolverines tonight at Chrysler Center. But hopefully you guys can check that out. Last couple for this last exercise we're doing, Hal Bridges. Sorry, Hal, maybe that's not how to pronounce your Twitter and Reddit handle, but he asked me, what's the worst take you ever gotten on Twitter? Hal's one of the more knowledgeable Pistons fans out there in the social media and Reddit worlds. But I talked about some of the bad Twitter takes earlier, but I don't know. I don't get too many of the bad trade proposals that Rod was getting at, so I'll just say the worst takes I've seen on Twitter are the ones I talked about earlier, with the blanket ripping on Andre Drummond's effort when the Pistons don't win, and maybe the coaching rotations Twitter that I've always kind of complained about here on the show. And Narrowin, again, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing some of these, and Narrowin's another one of the more knowledgeable Reddit guys out there. He was wondering if we want a guest on the show, and of course, sure, come on the show. Narrowin's kind of, like I said, very knowledgeable fan, more of the anti-Drummond crowd, skews a little negative, talks about blowing it up, more the Valeni side of the Pistons fandom, which we welcome, and we like that. Any kind of knowledgeable fan we appreciate here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So we'd like to get his take on there on this show. So Narrowin, give me an email at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. We'll get it together. We'll get you on the show and get that other side of it out there. I mean, I'd say that my opinions usually skew more optimistic and positive In my opinion, anyway, I've seen some guys on Twitter saying that I'm, or some guys on Reddit, that I'm too negative. I don't see how that could be perceived, but of course, your opinion is whatever your opinion is, and that's fine. But like I said, narrow and well-reasoned and well backed up with his numbers and thoughts and evidence about his Pistons opinions. So I'd be interested to hear what he has to say about the direction of this team, especially that, you know, the roster's in place for the rest of the year. So there's really no tank or rebuild discussion to be had for the rest of this season, and maybe see what he has to say about the playoff chances and what he thinks an offseason for the Pistons should look like this summer as well. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons and get us right on your commute, wherever you're headed. Just have Matt join you. Maybe I'll sit shotgun and scream in your ear about the Pistons, which I know is what you love when you're getting around town. But go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And also, give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. Thanks, everybody, for the questions on the Reddit mailbag. I hope you guys appreciate that. We'll be doing that sometime soon, for sure. But again, this is your host, Matt Shook, saying we got one more show this week. We'll preview the weekend's games. Cleveland on Saturday, Toronto on Sunday. Looking forward to talking about those games with you guys. And have a good Thursday, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.